بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Last week we discussed the opening and the beginning of Surah Al-Tariq, and we came to know that it began with an oath, and then Allah Azza wa Jal responded to this oath, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ, and then He says, إِن كُلُّ نَفْسٍ لَمَّا عَلَيْهَا حَافِظٍ. So basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by السَّمَاءِ, which is everything above, and He took an oath by Al-Tariq, which we came to know that it's the bright, brilliant star that pierces and it drills a hole through the darkness until its light reaches us. That was the object of the oath, and the subject of it was in kullu nafsin lamma 'alayha hafiz. Definitely, no doubt about it, certainly, indeed, verily, each and every single person has a guardian onto them, right? And has a guardian. And so you say the sky and the star, what does that have to do with a guardian on us that records everything? Well, basically what's trying to be said here in between the lines is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the illustration that everything above, including the stars, are a witness over mankind and over human behavior on this earth. So just like we said on the Day of Judgment, the earth will come and speak and witness before Allah that this person prayed on me, or this person did such and such on me, or this person committed this evil act. Also the sky has seen, it's a witness. So it will say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will witness and testify before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this slave did so and so. And so as-sama' as well, we said Allah doesn't say was-samawat. We said there's a difference between samawat and sama'. We said sama' is a limitless term, whereas samawat is only talking about the seven heavens. So when you say was-sama', Allah Azza wa Jalla is above the sama'. So when you say where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say fis-sama'. Okay, and that means ala sama', means above the heavens and above the skies. So the ultimate guardian that has been placed upon you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. He's the ultimate guardian that watches every single move, action and word and intention you do. So this is the relation between the objects of the oath and the subject of the oath in itself. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of this surah, He proved to us the idea of accountability. That there is a guardian over us that watches what we do, that records what we do. Why? Because there's a day of accountability and resurrection that is going to happen, in where you'll come up and stand before Allah, and then you're accounted for every single thing you did. So, if you don't believe in accountability, if you don't believe this is going to happen, then obviously you don't believe in resurrection. Someone that doesn't believe Allah is going to hold me accountable for what? I don't believe in accountability, it's not going to happen. Then that definitely means he doesn't believe he's going to come to this life again. Doesn't believe in the resurrection. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is going to address the issue of resurrection. So He's addressed the issue of accountability. He said, "In kullu nafsin lamma 'alayha hafiz." You don't believe you're witnessed and there's a guardian over you? Have a look at the stars, have a look at the sky. Maybe that could prove to you that there's a guardian over you. If that you don't believe in that, then that means you don't believe in resurrection. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to prove the resurrection. And if He can prove the resurrection, then that should bring the people to believe that there is accountability. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلِقْ. Then the human should take a deep look into what he was created from. So how does this all connect to each other? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this ayah, He says, فَلْيَنْظُرْ. Fa, it begins with a fa. The fa means as a result. Therefore, Meaning, if you don't believe in resurrection, you haven't believed in accountability. So that means you don't believe in resurrection. So if you don't believe in resurrection, then the human, you, should look into your own creation and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you from, and that should lead you in believing in resurrection. How does this happen now? فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلِقْ This lam here is lam al-amr, mean the lam of commandment. So it's a command from Allah Azza wa Jal to do this. And to do what? Yanzur. Yanzur means to stare closely at something. So much so you can't get your eyes away from it. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of this word and He used this word, this verb also to speak about Musa alayhi salam, when he brought his hand out of his jayb and it became white, he said, فَإِذَا هِيَ بَيْضَاءُ لِلنَّاظِرِينَ He put his hand in here and he pulled it out, and all of a sudden it became bayda, it was white, and then Allah said, لِلنَّاظِرِينَ People were just staring at it, couldn't get their eyes away from it. So Allah is commanding the human, you don't believe in resurrection, then deeply stare and look into what? Mimma khuliq, into what you were created from. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yanzur, and yanzur is in the present tense. So continually and every day, look into your creation and what you were created from. What you were created from, and the present is used, so you can always look into your own creation. And subhanallah, every single day, you have humans, scientists and doctors and whatever, that ponder over the beginning of man. And every single day, something new is being learned. Right? And this is by the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yanzur, keep staring into the beginning of the human, you'll find some amazing things. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانِ Al-insan means a human. But Allah used the word insan, which comes from the word nasiya, which means forgetfulness. So the human was called an insan because he has this feature, he possesses this quality of forgetfulness. And the human, he forgets where he came from. So it's perfect that this ayah used the word insan, because it's speaking about the creation of a human. And Allah is saying that the human forgets sometimes where he came from. So the human, he tends to gain wealth and power and authority. And he forgets. He forgets that he has a pathetic, not a humble, a pathetic beginning. You know, from filthy fluid. This same thing that you came from is the same thing you're embarrassed from if it was to come on your clothes or something. You try to wash it away, right? So the insan has forgotten his beginnings and how filthy it was. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلِقْ مِمَّ خُلِقْ From what he was created. مِمَّ means from what. But you know this word in Arabic, normally you say مِمَّ خُلِقْ I told you this last week, but we never had time to explain it. Mimma khuliq is a reduced version. Mimma khuliq is the original complete version. And mimma, you can hear it, there's an alif missing, so it's a reduced version. And in Arabic, when words become shorter, they don't lose their meaning. But what happens, it gives you a less of a meaning. A less of a meaning. So for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fussilat, تَتَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ Right? تَتَنَزَّلُ And in Surah Al-Qadr, he says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ تَتَنَزَّلُ Because it's bigger, it has a bigger meaning. And in Surah Al-Qadr, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ It's shortened, one letter is dropped, so it has a lesser of a meaning. And it's true, because in Surah Fussilat, it's speaking about angels that come and take the souls. Now, angels that come down and take the souls, there's a lot that happen every day. But on Laylatul Qadr, it's only one night in where angels come down. So it was تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَ missing at that, because the action of coming down, it is less compared to angels that come down every day and take the soul. So مِمَّ خُلِقْ From what? Even the word has been reduced, because what the human was created from is very small and insignificant. So much so that it doesn't even deserve to be called mimma khuliq. What did we come from? So this fluid? It's not even worth mimma khuliq, the whole word. So it's reduced, mimma khuliq. This insignificant, small, pathetic beginning. So the alif was removed, and that's what it signifies. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, mimma khuliq. From what? He was created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خَلَقَهُ اللَّهُ. Let the human ponder deeply over what Allah created him. Allah didn't use his name. He said, مِمَّا خُلِقْ, from what he was created, not from what Allah created him. So the passive form was used. And in other words, what that means is that Allah Azza wa Jal did not mention his name. He hid his name. He kept his name a secret. And this is consistent with the style and the theme of this surah. I told you this surah has two themes in it. The theme of journeying and the theme of secrecy. And so this perfectly comes into this theme of secrecy because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept his name a secret. So the beginning of the surah was Sama'i wa Tariq, right? At-Tariq is the star that comes out at night. The night is, that's where secrets are associated with the night, not the day. And then he said, in kullu nafsin, every single nafs. And a nafs is where secrets are kept. So that's again secrets. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, mimma khuliq, he kept his name a secret. So the whole surah is about this theme of secrecy. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes his name, it illustrates two things. The first is that it depicts and illustrates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's displeasure and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger. And how is this so? Because in the Quran, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his favors upon people, and sometimes he mentions his anger and wrath upon people. When Allah mentions his favors upon people, he mentions his name. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. Guide us to the path that you have bestowed your favor upon. We mentioned Allah and you. But when he spoke about مغضوب عليهم, he didn't say غير الذين غضبت عليهم. We don't say, oh Allah, don't guide us to the path that you became angry upon. We say, and do not guide us to the path that those that earned the wrath, without mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. So in times of favor, Allah mentions his name. Sometimes in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about nations that he sent his book to. If it's a good nation that abided by the book, then Allah says, آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, we gave them the book. And if it's a corrupt nation that rejected the message, didn't follow the book, and that Allah became angry with, then he says in the Quran, أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ, they were given the book. He doesn't mention his name. He doesn't mention we gave them. He said, they were given the book. طيب. So we have these two things. So now Allah says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانِ مِمَّا خُلِقْ. Let man deeply stare into from what he was created. Allah's name hasn't been mentioned, and this depicts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger. Why? Because it illustrates Allah's anger over this person's forgetfulness. You've forgotten where your origin is, so Allah is angry with this guy, with this person, with this human, so he doesn't mention his name. Now the other thing it depicts, when Allah removes his name, and it doesn't say, mimma khalaqahu Allah, when Allah removes his name, the other thing it depicts is that this person that wants to take on this invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's not expected to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person is so forgetful, he's not even going to remember from what Allah created him. That's how forgetful he is. He's not going to think what Allah created me from. So at the very least, Allah just invites him, all right, you know what? Just look into what you are created from. Forget about the creator for now. You don't believe in Allah, forget about that. But just look into what you are created from. So this is another depiction when Allah removes His name. When Allah removes His name, it's like He's expecting that don't think of Allah first. Think about where you came from, and that should lead you to the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just reflect deeply into your own creation. And these people, of course, we said they're in denial of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's just make him think about what he can see. He can't see Allah. He can't see the Day of Judgment. He can't see the guardian over him that witness everything he does. So let's Allah calls him to something that he can see. That he can see. And so the first few verses in this surah were about things we cannot see. Right? Like the guardian that Allah mentioned. We do not see the guardians that Allah has placed over us. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this human that is in denial to something he's able to see and to reflect upon. And just have this in mind, that the Arab in the desert, he can't see the fluid that's inside of his body. He can't see that. Because we know we come from a fluid within the body. So he can't see this. And at that time, there's no technology. I mean, probably now we can see what's inside and so on. But at that time, there is no technology. And the kafir, the one in denial, he cannot see. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about what comes out. So he can see with his own eye. So Allah says, خُلِقَ مِن مَاءٍ دَافِقٍ. Let the human ponder deeply over what he was created from. You don't know how to answer this? Allah answers it for us. خُلِقَ مِن مَاءٍ دَافِقٍ. Let me tell you, he was created from water that gushes. This is خُلِقَ مِن مَاءٍ دَافِقٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this fluid that comes out from the human as dafiq. And dafiq, we're going to come to what it means. But you know, there's a beautiful description here, because in this surah, the stars were mentioned, an-najmu. And an-najm was described as al-thaqib. Al-thaqib means that it pierces through. The light pierces through, it drills a hole through the darkness until it arrives to the earth. So you can see it. So now, the water that comes out from the man has been described as dafiq, and dafiq means that which pushes and breaks through. Right? So for example, if you have a dam that has water and then the dam broke, you say that's ma'un dafiq. It's water that just gushes out. It flows out at high pressure. For example, you have a bottle of water and then you just squeeze the bottle. How fast and quick does the water come out? Then that is dafiq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the human was created from a fluid that gushes out quickly. Some of the ulama say, ma'un dhi difq. And what does that mean? That means that it's water that only gushes out. Yani subhanallah, this fluid that comes out from the male, it is a fluid that only gushes out. It never comes out still, or at low pressures, or at anything. So when Allah referred to it as dafiq, that's the only quality this fluid is known for. As a gush out, not as something that seeps out or flows out. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so far, He has made us reflect on things we cannot see. That is the guardians that are over us. And He's also now made us reflect on things that we can see, that come out of the body. And that is that ma'un dafiq. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the journey of this fluid. Where does it come from? Right? You can see it. You know where it comes from. But where did it come from? Where's its origin? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this ma' dafiq, and just picture this in the Arab's mind, he can see this coming out, but where did it begin from? Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَخْرُجُ مِن بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ. That this water, it comes from between الصُّلْب and التَّرَائِب. We're going to explain this. And that's where the journey of the human formation begins, between the صُلْب and the تَرَائِب. And so the beginning of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so this beautiful connection in the surah, At the beginning, Allah spoke about the journey of the light from the star. How the light from the star journeys until it reaches here, right? It pierces through the dark up until it reaches us. That's the journey of the light of the star. Now, Allah speaks about the journey of the human. Where did he come from? He came from between as-sulb. As-sulb, you say, shay'un salbun, it means something that's hard. Sulb, literally it means something that's hard. And the toughest and hardest bone in the human is the spine, is the back, the backbone. That's the toughest bone. So as-sulb is the backbone. And at-tara'ib is the plural of tariba, which is the chest bone, the ribs, right? They say عِظَامُ الصَّدْرِ. عِظَامُ الصَّدْرِ means these bones here, up the top. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, مَوْضِعُ الْقِلَادَةِ مِنْ صَدْرِهَا. Meaning it's the place where the woman puts the necklace. So the necklace is put around the neck and it comes up until here. Or maximum it reaches here, so on. So this is at-tara'ib. So you got the back and you have from here. So the journey, Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that this fluid you see gushing out, it begins from between here and here, somewhere in between. Now, some look at this ayah and say that, oh yeah, okay, if you see this scientific miracle and the sperm, it actually does, it begins from here and from here, and in between something happens and then it flows down the body up until it reaches and then it comes out. So this is scientifically looking at it. But I want you to think of this ayah from the perspective of the desert Arab. He doesn't have scientific back then and he doesn't know how to explain this. So he just sees it and he hears whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has to say, and there's no technology at that time. So that's how we need to look at this ayah. He's thinking that the backbone, right, the back and the rib is a very small amount of space in between. What's the distance between here and here? What? 7 centimeters? 8, 9 centimeters? You know, as skinny as you are, as fat as you are, it's only going to differ in centimeters, a few centimeters. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has depicted to the Arab and depicted to all of us a mystery that has yet to be solved approximately 1,500 years later. That's when we now find out this stuff, 1,500 years after the Arab heard this. Now, a few ayat ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicted the journey of light of the star that's millions and millions and millions of years away. And we don't even know its reality. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicts a journey in this small body of yours, from here to here, and it seems like an endless ocean because you can't even figure out this mystery. Subhanallah, Allah speaks about a journey that's of millions of years. Light coming from there all the way to here, Allahu a'lam how many years it is. That you can't figure out. So Allah goes, all right, figure out between here and here. How small is this? 5 centimeters? Even that you cannot figure. And even this, when you have the researchers today and the scientists, and I told you, every day something new is coming out. How come? It's just 7 centimeters. Why every single day something new, something new, something new? For subhanAllah, this Allah Azza wa Jal is bringing the human to reflect upon his own creation. Forget about the space and that. If you cannot figure everything out, look at yourself. Even within yourself, you cannot figure everything out. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the Quran, he puts these two things beautifully together always. This pondering over the universe and pondering over the human body. Always puts them together. Right? So you have in the end of Surah Fussilat, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will soon show them our miraculous signs in the horizon, in space, and even within themselves, until it becomes absolutely clear to them that this is the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, in your own creation, there are miracles. And then in the heavens, there are miracles in the sky. So always there's this beautiful connection between your creation and that creation there. Subhanallah. And what this does is it illustrates the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His knowledge, and it also illustrates the weakness of the human being. Even your own self you couldn't discover. And you know, subhanallah, people sometimes, they go so far to see a sign of Allah. Let's go so far. How do we prove this deen to be right? And how do we know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Islam and Allah, this is all truth? We need to go search for answers. No, you don't have to. Just within your itself, you're an answer. You don't have to go that far. A sign of Allah is within you. Just deeply reflect and ponder over your own creation. And even smaller than that, ponder over where you came from and where it came from. Between here and here, that's enough. That will bring you to acknowledge the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as-sulbi wa at-tara'ib, some ulama gave these two meanings. The first is that it's referring to the male's rib cage here, to this rib bone, chest bone. And also it's referring to the male's backbone. And some ulama say, no, that as-sulb is referring to the male backbone and at-tara'ib is referring to the female chest bone. In other words, they said that because reproduction is an action between two humans, a male and a female. So as-sulb is for the male and at-tara'ib is for the female. And yani also this is proven in the scientific aspect that the woman the fluid begins to rush from here up until it reaches down, and from the man it rushes from here up until it reaches yani his private part. And subhanallah, you know, to also yani draw a contrast and a link between the male and the female, you see, the male, he produces the sperm from between he and he. And the female, later on, Allah Azza wa Jal will give her the ability to produce the milk that comes from between two things as well. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِن بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ. Right? From between the blood and from between the tissues and so on. You think what's going to come out will be disgusting. But Allah Azza wa Jal brings out labanan khalisa, pure milk that comes out. فَسُبْحَانَ يعني in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ عَلَى رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. It is an awesome ayah in the surah. And it is understood from multiple views. I'll give you a few views inshaAllah ta'ala. إِنَّهُ عَلَى رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. Allah says, no doubt, absolutely no doubt, He is in complete control over returning it. Returning it. Now what is Allah speaking about? Returning what? For the first and the famous saying amongst the scholars, we probably all know, is that it's returning the human being after his death to life. Returning him after his death to life. But in context of this surah, there's something beautiful to understand this. Allah is in complete control of returning it. Well, the closest noun that was mentioned before is this fluid, right? This is the closest noun. When you say it in language, that means it's referring to the closest noun. So for example, if you say once upon a time there was a king. You don't have to say the king had a house. You can say he had a house, right? And we understand he refers to who? To the closest noun, which is the king. So now, when Allah says He is able, in complete control of returning it, the closest noun that was mentioned was this mat. Was this mat. مِن مَاءٍ دَافِقٍ يَخْرُجُ مِن بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ إِنَّهُ Him, Allah, عَلَى رَجْعِهِ is able, in control and full ability. عَلَى رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ He is able to return it referring to this water. What does this mean? You know, it means that Allah Azza wa Jal has the complete control and ability to return this sperm back into a live human. So you know, when the relation between the man and the woman happens, the fluid of the man that's now dead, that sperm is dead, there's no ruh in it. It comes out from you. It goes into the woman. And it comes out alive. So ala raj'ihi ila qadir. Allah Azza wa Jalla has the complete ability to bring this dead thing that came out of you, He's able to bring it back alive. And so 9 months later, what happens? A live newborn baby comes out. So Allah is saying, if He can produce this return after this dead fluid went in, then of course, when you're a dead human that goes into the grave, into the womb of the earth, simply you'll come out. Look at it. In your own creation, a dot of liquid goes in the womb of a mother. 9 months later comes out a baby and he grows. So when you die, it's like that drop has gone into the womb of the earth and then it will come back up. So if you can believe this that you see, you have to believe in the other one. Which one's more difficult? You see, when you speak about which one is hard, that Allah created us first or He brings us back second, which one's more difficult? You tell me. First. The first one is much more difficult because even the scientists, when they come to study it, speak about the genes and how the chromosomes and how this comes to this and connects to this and complicated stuff. And even that is not everything. Even that is not everything. So the beginning of creation is something much more difficult than returning the creation. For subhanAllah, it's by Allah's mercy that He allowed us to see the difficult one. So it becomes easier for you to believe in the other one, in coming out the second time. This is the part of the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ عَلَى رَجْعِهِ. إِنَّهُ. And إِنَّ, I always tell you, that it's used to remove what? Doubt. And it creates certainty. So when you want to remove doubt, that means there's someone doesn't believe you. If you're using inna, that means that someone's not listening to you, not believing you. So for example, I say to him, al-ma'u ala al-tawila. I say to him, the water's on the table. And then he doesn't believe me. So I want to say it again. I say, inna al-ma'u ala al-tawila. Certainly the water's on the table. So in other words, I use inna when someone that's listening to me doesn't believe me or he's in doubt. So Allah says, innahu ala raj'ihi laqadir. Why does He say innahu? Because people are in doubt that Allah will return them back to life. But when Allah spoke about this fluid coming out of the human, He didn't say, innahu khuliqa min ma'in dafiq. He didn't say, certainly man was created from gushing fluid. Why? Because no one is in doubt. Is there anyone doubtful of this? There's something you can see. So there's no use of inna. So the next time Allah said, innahu ala raj'ihi laqadir. No doubt whatsoever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in complete control and authority of returning this person back again. And beautifully again, Allah Azza wa Jal continues the theme of the surah and He keeps His name a secret. He says, innahu. He is able to return you. So He doesn't say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٌ. Although from the beginning of this surah up until now, Allah's name hasn't been mentioned. So how do you use a pronoun? You understand? I told you when you speak of a sentence, you say, once upon a time there was a king, he. But at least you mentioned him. Now you can, all the whole story, you can just say he. But at least you begin with Him. In this surah, we haven't seen Allah's name yet. And He still referred to Himself as He is able to return him or return it. So this again continues with the style and the theme of the surah. Allah again keeps His name a secret. And in the previous surah we read, إِنَّهُ هُوَ يُبْدِئُ وَيُعِيدُ. And this is a connection between the two surah. إِنَّهُ هُوَ يُبْدِئُ وَيُعِيدُ. No doubt. Allah, He initiates and He brings back. So He initiated you from fluid and brought you back. And then you'll be buried into this earth and He'll bring you also back again. So this is the يعني, the connection between Surah Al-Buruj and Surah Al-Tariq. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us when we return on that day. So إِنَّهُ عَلَى رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. Let's understand this as being the majority of say, and it meaning that this is referring to we are going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is in full control and He is able to bring us back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us back, and now we're standing on the Day of Judgment. What happens now? Allah says, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ. On the day when secrets will be thoroughly examined and they were pulled out and exposed to everyone. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ. يَوْم. يَوْم means on that day. Secrets will be exposed. Why does Allah say on that day? Because it illustrates that today secrets might be secrets. They're not exposed. But on that day, there is nothing called a secret anymore. All of it comes out. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ. It'll all come out on that day. And تُبْلَى, تُبْلَى ابْتِلَى, it means to test someone. But ابْتِلَى, especially the word ابْتِلَى, means to test someone to see what comes out of them. Right? So for example, if I say, I want to perform ابْتِلَى on this person. So what do I want to do? I want to get a room and put him in a room that's full of girls and wine. What's this for? Ibtila. So I can see what comes out of him. Or I want to give this person $1 million as an ibtila. Because I want to see what comes out of him. What is he going to do? You know, what's that guy going to do in the room? What's this guy going to do with the money? So that's what ibtila means. To test someone to see what comes out of them. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying on that day, didn't Allah test us in this world? But on that day, He's going to see what came out of us. This testing, where did it get you? Did it get you to Jahannam or to the paradise? And what's the thing that Allah brings out of us? He says, As-sara'ir. Tubla means to pull out and expose. What's exposed on that day? As-sara'ir. Now understand this word, As-sara'ir. Sara'ir is a plural. The plural of the word sir. Now, sir, you can have two words, you can say it basically in two ways. You could either say sir or sarira. They both mean the same. Sir means a secret. Sarira means a very well-guarded, protected secret. Sir, its plural is asrar, which means secrets. Nothing fancy to it, just secrets. And sarira, the plural of it is sarair, the word Allah used. So basically sarair means secrets that are well, very well guarded and protected, so nobody else could find out except you. That's sarair. And again, the word perfectly matches in this surah because the theme of the surah is about secrets. And the word that's used here is described or means a very well-guarded secret. So Allah is saying on that day, these well-guarded secrets will be exposed on the Day of Judgment. Now I'll give you a beautiful connection between this surah and the surah before. How do we understand this? Well-guarded secret. What well-guarded secret? In the previous surah, Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about the story of Ashab al-Ukhdud. And we said that Ashab al-Ukhdud were the disbelievers, were the criminals that tortured the believers. And how did they torture them? By a form of mass genocide. So they dug this hole and they killed everyone. That's mass genocide. And you know, back in the time and even up until today, and recently in past years, genocide is a well-practiced thing. Yeah, this is countries to countries and nations do this to their own people. They commit this genocide, which means killing people in the masses. You know what happens when a nation or a country commits mass genocide? You know what happens? If a country was to do this, they hide and they bury the evidence so no other country can point them out on this. So for example, you know, in Egypt, when they started to go rampage and kill everyone, they started burning the bodies. Why? So they can get rid of the evidence. So later on, no international group can come and see what happens. Similarly in Syria, God knows what happens in Syria. You understand? This is all covered. Because the country, if what's exposed, if the reality is exposed, you say what we see is not real, it's just something. But if the reality is exposed, no one will accept. And so, you know, countries that commit these mass genocides, they cover, they bury these evidence, they set military perimeters, they put police on the areas, they don't allow journalists to come in. Right? In Palestine, for example, how many journalists we've heard that they've killed? This journalist comes in, he's dead. Why? So they cannot expose the country. What the countries commit of mass genocide is referred to as as-sarair. Well-guarded secrets, well-hidden, kept away from human eyes. They don't even allow the countries to come in and someone to dig. You know, that's why many years later, when the generation is dead, when everyone's gone, what happens? People come and dig, and all of a sudden they find thousands of skulls under the earth. Where this, at that time it was covered. These are sarair. Now, how does this connect beautifully to the surah before? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that even then on the day of judgment, these well-guarded secrets will be exposed. There's nothing hidden. Maybe you can hide it now maybe and guard it. And a nation will hide it. But on that day, everything will be exposed. Now this is on a nation level, on a wide level. And subhanAllah, this ayah fits in this surah. Because the surah before spoke about Ashab al-Ukhdud. And they are a group that committed a mass genocide. Right? So Allah is saying even that will be exposed on the day of judgment. Also, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ can be understood on a personal level. So that's a nation level. Allah will expose the nations and the countries that committed these horrible acts and kept them well guarded. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose you personally, and your intentions personally will come out. And this is as-sarair in this ayah on a personal level would mean the secrets of actions and intentions that are between the slave and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that includes your iman and your prayer and your fasting, your intention. All this will be exposed on the day of judgment. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, your intention will be exposed on the day of judgment. If it was good, you will look beautiful. And if it was bad, you will look ugly and horrible. And يعني subhanAllah, what the thing is, that today, no one knows the intention. So what is exposed of people is what people are judged according to. So mashallah, you pray, it looks good, you're good. You do evil, then that's bad, you're bad. That's what we know, what we see. But on that day, the intention inside as-sarair is what is exposed. So now, yes, in this life you did pray. But if you prayed to other than Allah, then on that day you'll look ugly. You understand? You had a bad intention, then on that day you'll look ugly. So here, what's exposed is your action. On that day, what's exposed is your intention. And according to your intention, according to how you look on the day of judgment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. Then on that day, he will have no power, nor he will have any helper. And you need to understand this in context or in understanding that يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ is referring to how Allah exposes nations on the Day of Judgment. Now, listen to this. In the previous surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about tough nations. Real horrible criminals, Ashab al-Ukhdud. Then we had the mention of Fir'aun wa Thamud. Hal ataka hadith al-junud, Fir'aun wa Thamud. We spoke about how powerful these people were. And Allah says, al-junud, the armies. And I told you the word armies, it illustrates power. So Allah spoke about these powerful armies in that previous surah. Now in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that their well-guarded secrets, which they kept hidden and made secret because of their power, they will be exposed, and on that day they will have no quwwa to hide the secrets. فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. They will have no power to hide the secret. And then, if you have no power to hide the secret, you'll look for some help. Come help me, hide this for me. You know, countries to country do this in this world. They'll use another country to support. Help us cover our crime. Right? So Allah says, and on that day, they won't have any power to cover the crime, and they will have no helper to help them cover the crime. And just to give you this understanding in an example, say for example, someone is in hospital, right? He's lying flat on the hospital bed. And he's too weak now. And his leg is exposed, right? So he's weak, he has no power to cover his leg. So what does he do? He says, please, can you, the guy that's sitting next to him, if there's a visitor, can you please cover my leg? Right? If you have no power, what do? You seek help. You go to someone else that will help you. So Allah is saying, on that day, they don't have any power to cover the secret. That's not happening for them. So now they're looking around for someone to cover it for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا نَاصِرْ. Not even a helper will come to help them cover their secrets. So everything on that day is exposed. From horrible crimes at nation and community and country levels, and also horrible crimes on individual and personal levels, everything will be exposed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجَعِ وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدَعِ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجَعِ. This is another passage in this surah. Now Allah Azza wa Jal is taking an oath by the sky. And listen to this, this is very interesting here. He says, I swear by the sky which returns. That raja' means the possessor of return. And what's this return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring about? It is, as some of the ulama they say, or the majority say, it's referring to rain. Because rain is something that returns, you understand? It's a cycle that happens over and over and over. So for example, you know, wassama'i that raja' is referring to the water cycle. The water is evaporated, it gets into the clouds, precipitation occurs, and then rainfall. And then that same rain will be evaporated, and then it rains. And then that same water goes back up and down, and back up and down. So it's returning. It over and over, it keeps returning. So, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجَعِ. I swear, I take an oath by the sky that returns, it's referring to the rain. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدَعِ. وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدَعِ. And I swear by the earth which rips and cracks open. Right? And this is referring to the plantation, the plant life. That when it rains, what happens after that? Water comes from the sky, the opening up of the earth happens, then the water comes into the earth, it gets in contact with the seed, then the seed is empowered, and then it grows into a plant. So every single plant and tree that grows, it is ripping. It is a ripping of the earth. وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدَعِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now He mentions another impregnation. So first, He spoke about the fluid of the man, male, which gushes forth and He impregnates the woman. Now Allah speaks and mentions about a fluid which comes from the sky and it penetrates the earth and it impregnates the earth, and then the earth gives life to a plant or a tree. You see, this is the contrast, the beginning and the ending of the surah. So in both cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about something dead that comes to life. Whether it's the fluid that goes into the woman and comes out alive, whether it's the plant, the seed that goes dead into the earth, and then the seed is given life, and it comes back up because, again, of a fluid that came onto it. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He parallels our creation with the creation of the plant life, since we were all made by the same Creator. Now, والسماء ذات الرجع والأرض ذات الصدع. This is the earth, and we always say the earth has a what? What is it? After an oath, what is it? A subject. No, a response. So, for example, you say, "Wallahi, this is mine." So you said you said what you want to say. So Allah is saying, "I swear by the earth that returns over and over," meaning the rain, the water cycle, "and I swear by the earth which rips and cracks open," which is referring to plants coming out. What does Allah want to say? Innahu laqawlun fasl. Verily, no doubt about it, this Qur'an is a true and decisive word, so much so it's referred to as qawlun fasl, a decisive word, a conclusive word, final. That's it. When you're in doubt of something, bring it to the Qur'an. It'll tell you what's this and what's that. It'll differentiate for you. It'll give you the final say. You know, you're confused. Is this halal? Is this haram? I don't know. Bring it to the Qur'an. It'll tell you, it'll show you what's halal, what's haram. It'll differentiate for you. That's qawlun fasl. It's a conclusive statement and an argument. طيب. Also, what we've come always to realize, that the object of the oath is always connected to what? The subject. So now there is a connection between these two. Allah speaks about the water cycle and about plants coming out from the earth. And then He speaks about the Qur'an. What does the Qur'an have to do with something, water and a plant coming up? Well, this is what it has to do. Wahi, revelation, is like rain. And the one receiving it is like the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the same way the rain comes to the earth, to the dead earth, to the dead seed, and gives it life, is exactly similarly to Allah Azza wa Jal revealing wahi, that if you were to take it into your seed, which is the seed of fitrah within you, then also this wahi could have the same effect of as the rain on a dead seed. It'll bring you back to life, and that is the life of iman and accepting Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the similarity between this. And this is not only here. In multiple occasions, Allah Azza wa Jal always draws this contrast between rain and a plant coming out, and then He mentions the Qur'an. Right? For example, you have أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ. He said, لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ, referring to the Qur'an. Then the ayah after, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Know for sure, you better all know for sure, that Allah Azza wa Jal is able to revive the dead land back to life, to give it life. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Al-Nahl, نعم. وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لِتُبَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الَّذِي اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. He spoke about what? About the Qur'an. وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ. الْكِتَابِ is the Qur'an. The ayah straight after, وَاللَّهُ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. Then He spoke about water being coming down from the earth. So subhanAllah, is all both the same thing. And by the way, the Qur'an is a revelation that came from above. Just like the water comes from above. And we came from down. Well, what are we made from? Turab. And similarly, the plant that comes is from turab as well. So the same, the effect that water has on the plant, the wahi exactly has the same effect on the soul. Now, I want to share with you, and perhaps we'll conclude with this, a hadith that's found in Sahih Muslim, in where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm going to paraphrase the hadith so we can have an idea of what's going on in the hadith. In the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, he gives an example of this guidance that Allah has given him, of the Qur'an. He gives an example of this, and he refers and relates to the example of rain falling upon the earth. What is the example? He gives an example of the wahi coming onto him, similarly to the rain coming from the sky down to the earth. Now, you know, when rain comes from the sky to the earth, three possible things can happen. The land receives it in three possible ways. This is the first way. This is all in the hadith. Huh? Does anyone know? All right, let's mention these three things. First of all, you could have a very good land. And this very good land can receive the rain. And as a result, it'll give plants. And when it gives plants, people benefit. Come and eat from the plant. Animals can come and eat from the grass. It's a good land. The other land that receives the water is land that's hard and barren. So what happens is that it rains, but the earth doesn't take the water. What does it create? It creates like a puddle. You've seen that before. It doesn't absorb. There's some land that doesn't absorb the water. Rather, the water retains on this earth. But again, it's not went to waste. People do benefit from it, right? So maybe animals can come and drink from this water that's left in the puddle. And there's another land. And this land is also barren. It could take in the water. And if it takes in the water, it gives ugly shrubs. And it gives harmful, diseased shrubs. And it could also, a tree that's a thorny tree that will come out of it, that even animals won't even go near. That could happen. There is land like that. Water comes, and what comes out of it is unbeneficial to humans and to animals. Oh, yeah. These are three types of lands that receive water. And subhanallah, when Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ, that this wahi that has come down, it comes down and it is a conclusive and decisive word, so much so that even the Qur'an in itself tells us about the people. And it differentiates and it separates between the people in three types. So now there are people that when it rains, meaning when they receive wahi, they recite Qur'an and Qur'an is recited unto them, they take it in, they benefit from it, like the earth benefits from the rain, and then it produces grass, so people can benefit. So that's the first type of people that benefit from the Qur'an. People that take in the Qur'an and then give out to others. And so they benefit themselves and others benefit from them. There's another type of people, they learn, but unfortunately they have never benefited from it. Rather, what happens? People come and drink from them, right? So people benefit from them. At least these people weren't put to waste, right? They were of some use for someone. They didn't benefit from the wahi, just like the second type of land. That never absorbed the water, but it kept the water retained on the land, allowed it for people to come and animals to come and benefit from it. So this is another type of human that receives the Qur'an. Receives so much of it, but unfortunately it doesn't internalize, but people do benefit from it. And the third type is the wahi that comes down on this person, and now whatever's absorbed, whatever comes out is unbeneficial, right? Just like the land that absorbs the water, and what does it bring out? Unbeneficial produce and crops. Even animals don't eat it. So this is the third type of person, receives the wahi, takes the wahi in, but what comes out of him? No benefit. Absolutely no benefit. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from the first type of people. We receive the Qur'an and we make a means of benefit to others. So this is إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ on one side. On one side it means that it's decisive and conclusive, meaning that it tells us who's who, to which category. And the other meaning is لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. In other words, it's a decisive and final say in whichever matter or issue you have. You have an issue, you have a matter? Come, ya akhi, bring it to the Qur'an. It'll give you a decisive, conclusive answer. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us students of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.